We left off last week, we were discussing the sugya of Hiku Hasar Bnei Adam. The reason why we got onto the sugya is because the Gemara was talking about multiple people involved in damages, and here we have multiple people involved in even a more serious problem, multiple people killing somebody. So at what point do we say that everybody's chayev? What point do we say that none of them is chayev? What point do we say that the last person is chayev? So that was a whole complicated machlokas, and we saw how that impacts on a whole series of other sugyas. So now we can go back to the beginning of the sugya, really, and get a whole other dimension, a whole other angle on what's going on in the sugya. Let's take a look back in Maromachim number 2. We'll read through the Gemara again in Masechah Sanhedrin, and then try to get a little bit of a better understanding how this is going to play out for really the second half of the sugya. So the Gemara said, "Hadrin, I'm Chesem and Aleph." The second member comes to the Rabbanon. He kula saw b'nei Adam and saw machlos umeis. If 10 people hit somebody with 10 different sticks, beim v'asachas beim b'zachas epturim. It's according to the view of the Chachamim, under all circumstances, they're going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira omer b'zachas achron chayev. If one was after another, then the last person is chayev. The person who actually caused him to die is chayev. Meshikir vespisasa, because he was the person who actually brought him closer to death. So we spent most of our time last week talking about the case of the vasachas. How come when they're hitting at the same time, why are they potter? But now let's focus on the machlekes that tonight about the last fellow. So yeah, it's actually in order. 8 o'clock in the morning, somebody hit, 9 o'clock, somebody else hit. Finally, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the last guy gives that last whack, and Nebuch, that's the thing that puts the victim over the edge, and that is the action that actually killed him. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, so that person is chayev. He killed a human being. Up until now, the person was alive. He is the one who took a live person, Nebuch, caused him to die, so he's going to be chayev. And the Rabbanan said no. The Rabbanan say that for some reason, even that last person is going to be potter. And really have to explain the Chacham Shita, why should that be so? Why should the last person be Potter? So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan, Ushne Mikra Echad Darshu. So both Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and the Chachamim are revolving around the same Pasuk. Ish Kiyaka Chol Nefesh Adam. The Torah tells us the only time a person is Chayav if he's a Makke Kol Nefesh Adam. And the word Kol is a tricky phrase. Rabbanan's opinion was Kol Nefesh. Adika kol nefesh. The word kol means all, an entire, total, complete nefesh. So according to the Chachamim, if you killed somebody who wasn't a complete nefesh, why wasn't he a complete nefesh? Because Nebuchi, he was atot, holding at the end anyway, because the last time people had already beaten him up. So according to the Rabbanan, the person who you killed, even though technically speaking, you took a quote-unquote live person and you caused him to be dead, but what you killed was, what you took away from him was not a kol nefesh. Most of that nefesh was already removed beforehand. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira saw a kol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira looked at the same pasuk in Chumash and came up with a diametrically opposed interpretation. Kol nefesh means kol du nefesh, even a little bit of a nefesh, even a mashu of a nefesh, even though the person was almost gone already. Afal pichein, you took a little bit, you took a mitzvah nefesh, and therefore you're going to be chayev. So if you would just stop at the Gemara at this point, you would think the machlekes atanoim is a gzeiras hakosef. So the world of drushas, it doesn't correspond to any medical information, doesn't correspond to any svaras, any logic. It's simple question, how do you dash in a pasuk? There's the magic word, everybody agrees, says in everybody's sefer Torah the same word, kol, and now we're just not sure how to interpret that pasuk. But now, notwithstanding the way Rabbi Yochanan seemed to present the machlokes, Rava gives us an entirely different picture of what's going on. Rava gives us a whole introduction, a whole different categorization of different statuses of people, different people who are not doing very well. Amar Rava. Rava says as follows: Hakol modim porges atreifa shu potter. The starting point of the sugya is everybody agrees that if you kill someone who is a treifa, you are going to be potter. Now, what does that mean, the word treifa? So the word treifa is not something that is new to us in Hilchos Rotzeach. We already know that mostly from animals. Some of you may remember the Dafyomi, some with fond memories, some with more difficult memories of Edel Treifas, the third parak of Masechus Chulin, a very, very difficult, intricate parak, which basically maps out all the different treifas as it relates to animals. Why is that so important? Because the Torah says, "Vasa basada treifa lo sochelu." You know, colloquially in Yiddish we say, the pizza store's treif. Oh, that chicken is treif. The word treif has come to mean non-kosher, but the word treif, treifa in halacha is a very, very specific connotation. It means an animal that has something wrong internally to it. Now, what exactly is wrong with it internally? So there are halacha Moshe Mesinai as to what constitutes a treif or what doesn't constitute a treif. There are different categories that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there are different applications of those categories that are described in great detail in Maseches Chulin. And basically boils down to 70 different treifas. There are 8 main categories of treifas, and there are 70 applications of them. And that's the entire parak. So you can have treifas in the lungs, and treifas in the heart, you can have treifas in the brain, and treifas in the liver. All the major organs have their series, their lists of different treifas. If the animal has one of those treifas, then it's osur min haTorah to eat it. And then the Gemara speaks almost in general terms about the principle that a treifa in a chaya, that these kinds of injuries, these kinds of illnesses, are basically going to create a situation where the animal is not going to live. How long is the animal not going to live for? So it's also a discussion in the Gemara. We assume for 12 months. That means whatever these things are wrong, it's not going to survive for 12 months. So comes the halacha now tells us, just that there's a halacha in uchus behemoths called treifa, there's a halacha in humans and many other also called uchus treifas. And if a person has the halachic status of a treifa, so then if somebody, even though right now he's technically alive, his heart's beating, he's talking to us, but be halacha, he's already considered to be as if he's no longer alive, and therefore hargis a treifa shupater. Now, just because those very, very specific categories that were given to us in Uchos Behemas, those are called Treifas Uchos Behemas, those categories don't necessarily carry over to Uchos Adam. The Rambam in Uchos Rotzeach writes that the term Treifa is used the same, we use the same words, but the imagery is very, very different. The Rambam says that those special, unique halachas, those 8 halachas and the 70 halachas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Uchos Behemas are not necessarily identical to people. People may be based on different factors. Again, that's the whole question. Rishonim, how do you map out? How do you figure out? We don't have a whole parak called Uchos Treifas for people. That's another question. How do you define Uchos Treifas for people? But however you define it, whatever you think the definition is, if the person meets the criteria of being a treifa, you will be potter if you kill such a person. Because you basically killed what's called halacha gavra ketila. You killed someone who basically halachically is not alive anymore. Doesn't mean it's mutter to kill the treifa, but it means if you do, you're not going to be chayim mitzvah based. But in contrast to treifa, Rava says, begeisis b'dei shemayim shuchayev. However, everybody agrees that if a person is a goseis b'dei shemayim, then you are going to be chayev. What is a goseis b'dei shemayim? So a goseis is also somebody who is going to die, but a little bit different than a treifa in the following sense. A treifa has some kind of a condition that for sure is going to die. There's no question about it. But it's not imminent. It's not necessarily going to be in the next 3 days. It could be in the next 10 months. But the person is going to die from this wound, going to die from this illness, from this problem that it has, from this organ that's not functioning. So the person is for sure going to die in the case of a treifa, but not necessarily immediately. A goseis has pros and cons. A goseis is different on two counts. A goseis is not necessarily going to die. It's not absolutely going to die. Rove going to die. Most of Rove goes to the Misa. Most people who are in the state of goseis will, in fact, not survive. However, if the person will die, if it will be from that majority to die, it's going to happen fairly soon. It's going to happen very, very quickly, actually within the next 3 days. The person is otot at the end. But again, a person can sometimes take a turn for the better, sometimes rebound. Sometimes the person will in fact overcome that state of goseis. The state of treifa, for short of an absolute nes, the malam and ateva, in the world of nature, the world of medicine, a treifa will not survive, but it's not imminent. And a goseis may survive, possibly survive, but if he doesn't survive, it's going to happen right away. So again, there are plus and minuses. Obviously, neither state is a good state medically, but in terms of halacha, there are differences between the two. And therefore, the Gemara says the treifa is, since he is for sure going to die from this injury, therefore he's considered to be gavra ketila, and the person who kills him is not chayim misa. Whereas the goseis b'dei shemayim, now here, b'dei shemayim, meaning that nobody did an injury, nobody caused him an injury. It happened, b'dei shemayim, he has an illness, he has something wrong, b'dei shemayim. So you will be chayef if you're goseis. For this reason, that one has to be very, very careful. When Hilchus goseis, because we do have these cases of a ghost b'dei shemayim, ghost b'dei shemayim would mean, again, sometimes it's tricky, but it's manazet to pinpoint this, but if you had somebody who was ill to the point where it's it seems pretty pretty clear that's going to happen. The person is going to die very, very soon. So that person would have the status of a ghost. So one has to be very, very careful not to do anything that would hasten death. One cannot take the attitude, well, the person's dying anyway, so then we'll kind of move things along a little bit. So that's clearly also, that's a very, very serious problem. There are certain limited things, again, this is case by case in halacha, there are certain limited times when a person is allowed to do, in a sense, not do anything, certain intervention that a person is not obligated to do, depending on the person's status, depending on pain, depending on other factors. But in terms of actively causing a person, let's say, you know, what they call physician's assisted suicide, all those kinds of terms, in halacha, that's called ritzicha. It means to do actively something to kill a person, even if the person is in a very, very bad shape, that's clearly out of the question. To sometimes, you know, hold back and not do certain things, and again, this is obviously not the time and place for this part, so it's a very, very complicated sugya. But sometimes, in the limited circumstances, the case may come up, not to put the person onto a ventilator, perhaps, or perhaps not to not to give certain kinds of medications, again, but not to give certain kinds of other treatments. Again, obviously, each case has to be determined properly. But to actively kill a ghost case would be a very, very serious problem. So comes Rav and says, neither of those two wishes are asugya. Not the case of the treifa, nor the case of the ghost with the shabayim.
Right. When the flip side of it, if he's about to deal, if you kill him, then you wouldn't be able to save him by holding him back. You're going to say that to do something that would cause his death, you're not allowed to do in those situations, even though he's about to die, so that would be killing him, then therefore he's alive, then you'd be able to save him.
So that's the question. Does that equation necessarily continue? So one would have thought that equation is true, but it would appear in the halacha that that's not correct. It would appear there's a Ramah that seems pretty clearly not to say that. The Ramah discusses certain situations where, I mean, the case of the Ramah is obviously something which is not, you know, not a medical thing that would come up today, but the Ramah describes a situation where a person is Nebuchadnezzar holding him at the end and just about to die, but it's not quite happening. And there's somebody outside who's banging, who's making a lot of noise, and every time the person gives a bang, so like the person like startled, person wakes up a little bit. So the Ramah says that you're allowed to tell the person to stop banging, even though it would appear that his bang is making noise is actually what's stimulating the person, what's waking him up a little bit. So I would have thought, like Israel, the mitzvah tzoli, you have to keep chay nefesh, you have to keep the person up alive as long as possible. So the Ramah says you're not mechuyev to do that. You can tell the person to stop banging. So the Ramah says that to actively do something to cause him to die, you can't do, but to remove something else that's merely keeping the goyis in a sense alive, so that you're not obligated to do. So that becomes a very, very complicated question. Where do you draw the line in today's world, in the hospitals of 2019? What's the equivalent of having the guy stop banging, and what's the equivalent of causing the person to die? Is not putting in an IV line, is not putting a person onto a ventilator, not putting in more medicine, is that considered to be like the equivalent of just telling the person stop banging? Or do I say no, maybe that's more and more direct? Okay, that's where a lot of this, a lot of the different opinions begin to play out. But getting back to that story, so neither the case of Argus Atrefa nor the case of Argus Agoses is the Machlegis of Rabbi Sarah and Darba. Neither the case is relevant. So why did Rava tell us things that are not relevant? Because he's trying to set up, I mean, it's always relevant, but it's not relevant for Rav Sugya. He's trying to set up the different categories in halacha as they play out for a tzicha. So there's the treifa, that's one extreme, for sure you're potter. There's the geis b'dei shemayim, for sure you're chayev. The nechwal b'geis b'dei adam. The machlokes says, what about a geis b'dei adam? That means a person who's in really, really bad shape, and there's a very good chance that he's going to die, and if he dies, it's going to happen right now, in the next couple of days. But he got there because of injuries. He didn't get there because of illness. He got there because Nebuchadnezzar's first people beat him up. So that's the machlokes. So one Tana said he's like a treifa. That's what the view of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that once he's been beaten up to that point, that he's a goseis b'dei adam. So killing him is like killing a treifa, and killing a treifa is potter.
So why would the last guy be chayim?
That's exactly what the Rabbanan said. That the last guy is potter. But Rabbi Ben Beserah says, no, he's a geises b'dei shemayim. He's treated like a geis. He's not a treifa. A treifa means that certain going to die. This guy's not for sure. 95%, but not 100%. So therefore, he's treated like a geis b'dei shemayim. So man the medami le treifa. The Rabbanu say he's treated like a treifa, and therefore you're potter for killing him. My time alone medami le geis b'dei shemayim. So why is this person close? Had a blackboard, have all three cases. You have treif on one extreme, You have ghost says b'day shemayim in the other extreme, and I have a ghost says b'day adam right smack in the middle. So why did the Rabbanan compare this fellow by time of the madam and the ghost of b'day shemayim? So ghost says b'day shemayim, he's not a real ghost b'day shemayim. Lo is aviv b'maisa. Nothing happened to him. There was no action that happened. Hi aviv b'maisa. This fellow, an action happened to him. So how come the other Tana compares him to one and not to a treifa? Treifa mechatchei simanim al mechatchei simanim. The treifa, so his simanim literally are cut. That means his physical source of life is literally his simanim. In the case of a treifa, his simanim are cut. So his simanim are cut. Whereas here, this fellow is not simanim cut. So at the end of the day, it's hard to understand either one of those two comparisons. But one thing is very clear, that Rava is not talking the language of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, when he learned the sugya, the machlekes, Rabbi Yudim and Mesemer and the Chachamim, he said it all revolves around psukim. The dash in the pasuk azoy, the dash in the pasuk azoy, it's kol mean mitzvahs, it's kol mean kol, whole different ways of interpreting what's pshat the pasuk. Rava seems to almost be taking the machlekes out of the Rava psukim and putting him into the Rava the hospital. Because he's trying to figure out, I have three patients here, one has certain medical slash halacha characteristics. The other has other medical slash halacha characteristics. And I'm trying to figure out the guy who got hit in Nebuch with nine different sticks. What ward does he go into? Is he closer to the Geises? Is he closer to the Treifa? Unclear. That seems to be a very, very different picture of what the Machlekes is all about. So what is the Machlekes, if you remember saying the Rabbana? Are they arguing in terms of Darshan and Psukim? Or are they Darshan in terms of medical categorization? So if you take a look at now we can skip to the eighth of the Mamakamos. So Tosfos in Sanhedrin and Chesed and Aleph tells us, "My medami le treifa v'chulei." Afal gav dekroik and darshim. Tosfos gets all nervous. He says, "Wait a second! There are psukim. Isn't the Gemara darshining psukim? It's trichle lahani taimei. We still need these reasons. What does that mean?" Tosfos addressed the question, didn't really answer the question. So what are the Rishonim and Masechet Sanhedrin? The Yad Rambah explains that what Tosfos is driving at is as follows. How do you know which pasuk? How do you know which way to dash the pasuk? The Torah says kol. The truth is, objectively, the word kol could go either way. You know, in terms of understanding of Lashon HaKodesh, the word kol could mean kol nefesh. It could equally mean kol dehu nefesh. So if it asked the Balei Diktuk, you know, so tell me, what does the word kol mean? Give me a translation. Give me the proper term. Either one could go. So every once in a while, you have a drasha that the drasha itself is not conclusive. I mean, it's not clear which way to give the drasha. So how do you know which way to give the drasha? So many drashas are given to us in ways that they are ambiguous. They really could go in multiple ways. And the Torah Misara, the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim to figure out what is the more correct way to darshan. Either one, in theory, could work in the psukim themselves, but there is a method to this. There is a svara to this. It's not drashas, it's not just pushing a button and hope for the best outcome. A drasha means you push the button and there are multiple buttons. It means you can go, it could technically go either way. So now part of Teshuvah Bapeh is the Masar Kos of the Chachamim, that the Torah gives it over to the Chachamim to try to use logic, to try to figure out which way is the more correct Kavanas HaTorah. Once you enter into that realm of using Svar as a logic, that's what the Rambam tells us in his introduction to Bereshit Mishnayos, that all the machleksim that we have in the Tanoim, Namaroim, because they're trying to figure out what the Kavanas HaTorah is, it's not that we have a clear-cut Masar Ishri Pishad Baish Rabbeinu, that the word kol means this and this and this. No. The word kol was given. The Midah Shetar and Yashas Baham could go either direction. You have to use your logic, you have to use svaras. So what svaras do you use? So that's what Rava was saying. It's more mistaber, it makes more sense that this fellow is maybe a treifa. Or maybe you could argue, no, it makes more sense this fellow is a goyseis. So you can argue back and forth, and each town has to present their arguments, which is exactly what Rava did. So Tosfos and the Yad Rambah are suggesting that even though the Gemara presents it almost like two different reasons, not two different reasons, not two different biurim in the machlokes, it's all the same thing. It all revolves around svaras that are determining what the correct drasha is. So Rabbi Yochanan was talking in the drasha realm, and Rava just flushed it out a little bit by explaining to us what caused us to dash the pasuk one way or the other. So this Tosfos in the first answer in the Ramah were big subscribers of Tamid Chamab Shalom Ba'olam. It means they wanted to make peace. Rava said one thing, Rabbi Yochanan said something else. So Tosfos said, no, they're really saying the same thing. So the Yad Ramah suggests a different pshat. He says that no. There's a machlekes, not the first machlekes, not the last machlekes. There was actually a machlekes amaraim. What was the Tanaim arguing about? We have a record of this braisa. We know for a fact that 100 years before, Rabbi Yudah ben Beseir and the Rabbanu were fighting out what would the din be about the last person who hits? So Rabbi Yochanan is the first generation Amoraim. This is the Talmud Rabbi Danasi. So Yochanan is sitting in Tveria and trying to figure out what did the Tanaim 100 years ago think? What was the beer? What was the lumdus of the Machlekes? The same way we do this all the time. We have a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivin. So the Rambam doesn't explain why he says what he says, so we'll give a whole shiur for now and have to figure out why did the Rambam say what he said and why didn't he say what the Raivin said and why did the Raivin disagree? So that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was doing. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, is sitting around and trying to figure out what was the beer of what was the Nekudas of Machlekes. So Rabbi Yochanan came up with this theory. His theory was, it must be the Machlekes revolved around the Pasuk. It must be it all revolved around the meaning of the word kol. Does kol mean azoy? Does kol mean azoy? Rav is sitting in Bavel 100 years later, and he's rethinking the Machlekes. He's reading the same Braisa, and he's saying, I know Rabbi Yochanan 100 years ago thought that the Machlekes was about Pesukim, but I don't know, I'm not so sure. Maybe we have to reread the Machlekes. Maybe the Machlekes was not about Pesukim. Maybe the Machlekes was about Svaras. Maybe the Machlekes was more medical / halacha. Is this person closer to the mal of a treifa, which we know the halacha is? Is he closer to the mal of a geises? We know what the halacha is. So it's unclear. So this is exactly what we do all the time. The machlekes Rambam and the Raivin. So see, Rabbi Kiveka gave one beer. Reb Chaim 100 years, I'll give you another beer. Maybe we'll be able to give a beer. Different generations give different biurim to try to understand what the nekudas machlekes was. So according to the first version of Tosfos, according to the first version of the Ramah, there weren't two versions of the Machlekes. There was one Machlekes. It was the same Machlekes. Everyone agrees the Machlekes was Pesukim, but everyone agrees that the Pesukim themselves are not convincing one way or the other. So you need a Svar to back up your interpretation of the Pesukim. According to the second version, there really were two different versions as to what they were arguing about. But no matter how you slice it, at the end of the day, it comes out that at least when it comes to Treif, everybody agrees. When it comes to Goseh Spidei Shemayim, everybody agrees. When it comes to Goseh Spidei Adam, that's where the Machlekes is. But everybody agrees that by the ninth hit, the person is a Goseh Spidei Adam. Means by the time the tenth person comes around, he's attacking a Goseh Spidei Adam. So comes Tosfos and turns the whole sugya on its head now, on the ninth of the Ramah Kamos. And Tosfos, wait a second, we've been spending the last week and a half focusing on number 10. Why number 10 is or is not Chayev? Yes, Tosfos Kash in the ninth of the Ramah Kamos, Tema. Oso shaso goises my potter. Forget about the tenth guy. Let's kill the ninth guy. The ninth guy, or the sixth guy, or the third guy. Whichever person took a healthy person and transformed him into a goises, so he should be called the rotzeach. What do you mean he's the rotzeach? The guy's not dead yet. So what? Harov ghost in lemisa. We know the very definition of goises that we spotted out the shir by saying is that he's most probably going to die. So says Tosfos that since we know that there's a 90% chance that number 9, the person who made him into a guy, says, in a sense, caused the person to die, let's kill him right away. And Tosfos is asking, we don't even have to wait until he actually dies. Let's just kill him right now. He says, Rov goes to the Misa. Rov? Wait a second, Rov, hold on. Rov is nice, it's kashrus. I find a piece of meat on Queen Anne. I'm not sure. Did it come from chickies? Did it come from doggies? Did it come from humble toast? Or did it come from the Caribbean store on the corner? So the thing is, you have 9 stores. When I used to give that marshal, there were only like 5 kosher stores. Now the same area, I think there are more than 9 now already. So if you find a piece of meat, you can follow the Rove. Good, so Zion, that I got. You can follow Rove. You can kill somebody based on Rove. It's like, oh, whoopsie, so we killed the person, 90% chance. Oh, whoops, sorry, we goofed, okay, we'll try better next time. Oh, well, you're not going to kill somebody based on rope. So Tosfos says, yes, you can. We are meeting Bereish Ben Soirer. There's a Gemara in the 8th parak of Masechet Sanhedrin that says, the whole chimbidin nefashas achar rov, that we kill somebody based on rove. So if you can kill somebody based on rove, so why can't you kill the number 9 guy, number 6 guy, whichever person turned this guy into a guy, says, let's kill him. So Seth tells us, we're spending a whole time, we're spending 2 weeks on a machlekes from Bidu Rebbe Seir and the Rabban about the last guy. Forget about the last guy. Maybe he'll also be chai. Just kill the first, the sixth guy, the ninth guy, the eighth guy, whichever guy made him into a guy, says, and don't tell me a story, it's only a rove. Rove goes to the Misa, how can you kill somebody? The answer is you can. We know you can kill somebody based on a rove. How do you know you can kill somebody based on a rove? So Tosfos is referencing a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samech Tesame Beis. So what is that Gemara that Tosfos is referencing? So we'll skip down to the 10th of the Ramah Kamos for a second. Those who were with us in the Iyun Shirim on Shabbos afternoon the last couple of weeks. So we just quoted this Gemara. We just quoted this whole context just a couple of days ago. So the Gemara, the 10th of the Rambam comes and said, Hedin Samachtes Amid Aleph, quotes the following statement. If you have a little girl who is 3 years old, and obviously she's not old enough, she's not mature enough to accept kedushin on her own behalf, but the father can accept kedushin on her behalf. So the father, the truth, can actually accept kedushin before she's 3 years old. Even if she's a baby, he can accept in theory. The Gemara doesn't recommend this. The Gemara says kedushin says you're not supposed to do this. It's a terrible idea to be mekadesh a girl before she's old enough to understand what's going on. The Gemara says old enough is 12. But okay, but the Gemara says that's not a good idea to be mekadesh a nish. But the Torah in theory does give the father the right to do so. It's interesting. The Gemara says in kedushin of memalef that a person, her father, is not allowed to do this. It would be a terrible idea. He's going to marry off his 5-year-old. Maybe she doesn't like this guy. Just because she was playing with him nicely in preschool, doesn't mean she's going to like him. So you should wait until she's old, until she's mature enough to say if she wants to marry. Well, still she's 12. That's what the Gemara says again. You have to remember, people didn't live all that long. You know, the lifespan in the days of Rishon was still about 30 or so. So the Gemara says when she's 12 already, that you can marry her. So Tosfos on the spot writes that our practice is that we marry off our girls even before 12. I think Gemara says you're not allowed to. So Tosfos says it's a rosh show. We have a special hetter to do it. Why is that? So Tosfos says because it's in the best interest of the girls to get married before 12 is Manazet. Why is that? I never listed a world that the Bala Tosfos lived in. They said that we have crusades now. Right? We have the Radifus now, and the Goyim are coming to kill us, and people losing their lives, and people losing their money, and we have so much tzaras. He says if right now a person has a little bit of Yishvadas, that right now it's quiet in town, right now his business is prospering, he should marry off his 5-year-old girls right away. Why? What's going to happen? He's going to wait till the 12. When the 12, he'll have to run away for his life. He won't have any money. His daughter's not, he's not going to be able to provide an adunya for his daughters. And then he'll never get married. So if Chazal would have been around today, they would have told us, it's a shasar chagol. What can they do? You have to marry off the girls before the age of 12. You just look at the world, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rin, the world that they lived in, that they couldn't even wait till the girl was 12 years old to marry her off because it was too dangerous, it was too risky. So they still wrote Tosef. They still were able to come up with what they did. So comes the Gemara and says that even though theoretically you can be mekadesh a girl but even before she's 3 years old, but bebia, if you want her to be mekadeshes bebia, you have to wait until 3 years old at minimum, because before 3, that's not even a nice bebia at all. The Gemara has a halacha Moshe ben Sinai that a physical act of that resembles bebia before 3 is as absurd, as crazy as it sounds. It doesn't even register as a nice bebia altogether. So what the din is that in theory you can have a girl who's a katana and she's an eshes ish. So the Gemara says, if somebody else would be mezana with this girl, even though she's well under the age of 12, so that would be a violation of eshes ish. We'll have to pick up tomorrow to figure out why in the world this has to do with anything we're talking about. How is the serve as the source that Holchem be nefash nacharov, and then to understand what Tosfos is coming from. Just because of this week's schedule, on Friday, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so I can't say she's on Friday. Does the other one Thursday instead? Or